pretty sure I'm going to wish I'd had a drink of water. But, well.
Why don't you just drink of water for?
Just water.
It's afternoon, isn't it?
It is afternoon. It could be something much, much better. Well, welcome to the very first consecutive, second consecutive year of Never Too Late. This is a radio show, and I love radio, the theater of the mind. If you're out there listening, you can make up your own pictures. Kind of watch what you picture, though, because we have an attorney present. I'm with my good longtime friend, Bob Pittman from Cairo's Legal Line. And together, we are at the Western Heritage Center and Art Center in Puyallup celebrating the 93rd birthday of Fred Oldfield, the premier cowboy artist in the entire world. Do you find that to be an exaggeration in any way, Bob?
No, not at all. I especially noted that in Yugoslavia, the old Yugoslavia, what was Yugoslavia, apparently he's noted there as well.
Well, I should think so. I mean, I can just imagine the Yugoslavian people say, would you like to say something, Fred? You want to
try? Yeah, well, I'd like to know what county Yugoslavia's in. Eastern Washington somewhere?
I think that was in the original Washington territory.
Oh, right. Yugoslavia, Washington.
Yeah, Yugoslavia, Washington.
I would like to thank you for making them take the cuffs off me before we came.
That's right.
Yeah. You're a pretty good lawyer.
We were able to get Fred released for this special production.
And that's nice. It reminds me, my uncle was arrested once, too. I didn't want you to feel like you were the only ones that family ended up in jail. And he was in a bar fight, was what it was. He said he was sitting at a bar, and all of a sudden, he's telling the judge, he said, all of a sudden, someone hit him over the head with a chair. And he said, Your Honor, suddenly, I sensed hostility. And so.
There was no coaching from a lawyer.
No coaching. He was. There's a lot of interesting things going
on.
Oh, what a nice person. A lovely person. Your daughter, Joella, just bought me a drink of water. Anyway, we are excited to be here for your birthday party and Anna's birthday party as well. And for this last segment of our show, we have questions that the audience wrote. And yes, they did. And some of them promised to be quite embarrassing, so hang around. Anyway, I'm going to read you a question, and then you are going to answer it. Does that sound like a reason?
Do I have time to think about it?
I'll be helping out as your attorney here, Fred.
Yes,
so
if you
do better. I got a hunch there.
If you need time,
I'm
just refer to.
I'm going to my fee.
Refer to your. Right. Okay, are we ready now? Now, first, this one is from not. We don't all know who all of the people are that.
I can read.
You can read. Well, yeah, but see the audience. It's the radio audience. Squint through there and see the vast radio audience.
A lot of people don't know that Fred is actually a handwriting expert as well. So
I didn't know that.
Those people who wrote questions who didn't put their name on them may find that he's able to figure out who actually wrote them.
Anyway, I can.
It's an old cowboy art, isn't it?
I can't do anything.
Absolutely. I learned that from the Indians.
I bet you did. Now then. From Little Joel, okay? You see that? He says, did you ever really ride a bucking bronco?
Not very far.
We like that one. That was good. So what kind of a rating do you give Fred on that answer? That's a 10. That's a 10. Good, Fred. Yeah. Bob, would you, can you also be the court clerk and keep track of the answers?
Uh-oh.
Just the rating?
I will do my best here.
Okay, so that one was a 10. Okay. I think he'll do pretty well. Do you have photos of all your paintings?
Nobody had cameras back then.
Nobody had cameras back then.
Not when I first started. No.
What did they have?
They had opinions mostly.
And so, were they good? Were they good opinions?
No, I would say not all.
What have people said to you over the years? What do people say to you about your paintings?
They asked me why I didn't get a steady job.
When did you know you could make a living painting?
Well, I'm not too sure yet.
Okay, what's the rating on that one? Another 10.
You mean people are really listening to this?
They are. That's how we see we're going to keep them awake by doing this. Okay, here we go.
So, Dorothy, can I just slip on the photographs? I mean, I hadn't thought about that. That's an interesting question, because there must be an awful lot of paintings then that you would have to, you could reconstruct them maybe in your mind, or you could actually, but it must be hard in a way to. They're just gone.
I'd hate to have to do it over again.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. After you turn 100, you can start it. Okay, yeah. Start again.
I have people that think that way.
But that's kind of sad that they're yeah. You know, gone, so to speak. Although they're out there being enjoyed.
Well, mostly for most artists, you do make photos now, always. But of course. Oh, yeah. In the beginning, it isn't even only that they didn't have cameras, which of course they did, but it just never occurs to a person who's just starting out to paint that they should do.
Well, they really did, but there wasn't too many people had cameras when I first started painting.
Did you go around look for somebody? Or?
I didn't think much of what I was doing, really.
Yeah, that's what it usually is. That's what it usually is.
Everybody wondered why I was fooling around that stuff.
Now, how about this one? Tell us about the paintings in the Burr's Restaurant and the Copper Kettle.
Oh.
I think that's in Washington State.
Yeah, it is. It's up by Mount Rainier. I painted that in 1957, and I didn't know how to do book work because I was along the street painting. I didn't know whether I had to pay taxes or not. So I had the lady that owned the restaurant at that time fill out a tax thing for me, and I painted the painting. And that was our deal. I've got more publicity off that painting than anything I ever done.
That's amazing.
People are still talking about it, driving by here about it.
Has his attorney anything to say on the tax matter?
Well, luckily the statute of limitations has run on that. And so
I'll
be contacting the IRS for you on Monday.
I'm getting so I'm not too afraid at this age what they're going to do with me.
What are they going to do after all? But that does bring up something. The first paintings that you sold were in Alaska, I think.
Yeah, I knew you'd bring that up.
Yeah, I tell them that story. You can love this story. This is the best story. It'll cause you to look at Fred in a whole new light. Don't you want to hear his story?
I was in Sitka, Alaska before the war. And not the Civil War, World War II. And I couldn't find a place to sleep. There was hundreds of guys there. And the town was snowed in, and I went into this inn. And the lady that, you know, owned it, she said, she gave me hell for a while, you know, why are you coming up here? Then when I started to leave, she said, hey, kid, go up in the attic if you can find a room. Up there, you can find room enough, put your sleeping bag down. I went up in that attic and there was about 20 guys in it. So then I found some old linoleum things up there. I'd taken a bag of paints with me and I started painting on these things because the snowstorm had shut down all the work. There was no work. And she got interested in those and she said, hey, let me have a couple of them. I did a little mountains and boats. So she'd head out every night and go through the bars and start selling. Back she'd come and in the morning she'd call me into her room, bleary eyed with paint all over her. Say, hey kid, you count me out the money. So that was my first agent.
You left out the part of when you gradually discovered what her profession was.
Hey, I might get sued. What about that? Could I talk about that part?
Well,
I didn't know about her profession. I really didn't. I just knew she was a hell of a salesman.
And maybe that was all you needed to know.
I couldn't sell that stuff.
And none of those paintings survived, I guess, is it?
People are looking for them, and nobody's come up with one yet.
Well, on the boat, all right, so she was a very nice lady. On the boat coming down from Alaska, though, you also found something else you could do to make money.
Oh, yeah, I painted on leather jackets. You know, I forgot about that.
Yeah, started
and
World War II.
I also played poker. I did well.
I don't think I knew about the poker. Well, but you told about how all everybody...
You have to pay taxes on poker money.
You do.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Then he wasn't playing.
I'm keeping a tally here for all these different problems.
How about...
You're gonna keep me retained for years on this.
What's your retainer fee on a painting or so?
A painting or so, yeah.
Well, we can work that one in.
That's right.
Do you remember why there was such a run on leather jackets all of a sudden that they all wanted you to paint pictures on them?
No, I don't think so. Most of these guys were, they didn't know any better and didn't know a hell of a lot about art. So we got away with it.
And I think World War II had just started and a bunch of you were going down to either enlist or be enlisted, depending upon the situation. And they wanted those really good-looking bomber jackets that had the pictures on the back, and that was what you painted.
That's right.
I was there.
I remember you.
I feared that
you was in room 206, wasn't you?
Well, no, not 206.
That's my room.
Can I sue him?
You may be able to, but I'll be representing.
I'm watching.
I want to go back. Hey, now, you were paying that one woman. She was paying you.
Yeah. She paid me.
I just dawned on me what's going on.
Well, she probably held on a cut.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And then Dorothy was there in room 202.
Six.
206. All right. I'm just trying to keep all this straight here.
And apropos of that question comes another question. How often do you take off your hat? And I heard what the answer was.
You would never have slept with me then. You would see me with my hat on.
I never slept with you now either.
Can I be sued for that?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm ready.
But it is never too late.
That's your opinion. No.
Is that where the name came for the show?
Yeah.
Hey, this ain't going to be broadcast other than here.
All over the whole world. And no, I did say to him, are we getting too old for romance? Fred and I have been friends a long, long, long time, about 38 years. We used to be the same age, but now he's a lot older than I am. But
I'm a lot older than everybody.
I said, do you think we're too old for romance? And he said, well, maybe, but we could fool around a little. So you did. Yes, I wrote it right down.
I want to sue this woman. I never said that.
I wrote it down and sent it to my agent right away. It's a chapter in my book.
I didn't sign it.
No.
When's the book coming out, Dorothy?
The book should be out. Actually, I've just got the first part of it to the agent, so it'll be about a year probably, because it takes forever.
And you'll make, obviously, it'll be available on the website?
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. Which is?
Well, I've got two. www.itsnevertoolate.com and www.inthemiddleradio.com. That's
good.
The one you should remember for today. The working title of my book is The Rusty Zipper, and it asks the question, should a woman in her 60s, 70s, or 80s keep looking for her knight in shining armor before his zipper has rusted shut, or should she just train a dog?
I thought this was a family show.
The other part was, but I don't know about this part.
Okay.
Cowboys only on this part.
Yeah, it's fine. Cowboys only. Now, here's a serious question. Where does most of your inspiration for a special work of art come from?
Shenley's. I think... If you want me to be serious,
for a minute.
From my past, from spending time in the hills and the woods, and I used to, the truth is, I was a real loner. I didn't like crowds or anything when I was young. I didn't even like girls when I was young. I don't know what the hell happened to me. I do now. But I think just being out there and living out there, I think that's what grows on you and you. Man, that's a beautiful country. Even sagebrush becomes pretty. So it's the way I lived early that the things I really want to paint. And I really like to paint more the transition from the old West to the modern days, which I lived a lot of it, you know, when the Indians were turning in their teepees and stuff and trying to live in houses and getting old wagons and hauling their stuff around that way. I saw a lot of that in the 20s. That makes me old, don't it?
No, it's great. It really makes me old.
I feel it.
Well, to kind of go with that question, though, Pat writes, did your wife ride with you on roundups, et cetera, and did she like ranch life?
Absolutely not. She did not like ranch life.
She was a smart lady.
In fact, as we moved to Seattle when we were able, so. No, she never, she was born and raised over there, and she was glad to get out of there and get a little modern and do things like that. You know, she loved automobiles and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, it was hard work out there on the prairie.
Yeah, you bet.
Now, this is from Don. How many horses lost tail and mane hair to make paintbrushes? You wouldn't have personally.
I don't think we used it. I think the Indians used the mane and tails to build quirts and bridle reins and all that stuff. And when I went to school in Alfalfa, those Indian girls had beautiful quirts, all made out of horse tails and horse manes. And they used to kind of use them on us guys, too.
You keep saying that. Here you complained about.
Did I say that before?
Yes, you did.
The minute you said manes and tails. You know, the other thing I think about when you talk about manes and tails is those Indian horses, when they run them in, were all full of cuckleburrs and stuff and brush. You get hit with a tail when they switch it full of cuckleburrs, and you think you run into a bobcat.
Takes a lot of trouble to get those out, too.
Yeah, and you maybe get kicked. Okay, what's the next one?
Okay.
I'm tired of that one.
All right. Well, that's okay. You're entitled. Tell us about, I don't know from whom this came, but tell us about your first roundup.
Oh, boy, that jars my memory. Well, the first trail drive I went on was kind of my brother Dick, who was 2 years older than me, and he was 15, and I was 13. And these people had a ranch above Weezer, Idaho, and they were closing it down and moving down the Snake River to north of Weezer. And Dick liked one of the girls, and so he talked me into it. And the two girls and the two of us took about 35 head of cattle, 40, and some horses, donkeys, mules, goats probably, the whole ranch stuff. Drove it through Weezer, Idaho, and I never got sworn at so much in my life. The time we got the cattle into Weezer, we had to go through Main Street, and everybody had gardens back in them days. And those cows were dry and hungry, and man, I had more rocks and stuff thrown at me trying to get them cattle out of there. I rode hard that day. And we moved them on down the river. Yeah.
Did you lose any of them?
I don't think so. They could have... I wouldn't have cared.
Well, that was a good one. Fred, here's another one that will jar your memory. What was your toughest prize fight and why? I think a lot of people don't know you did any fighting.
Well, I never did that much fighting. I think that's kind of blown out of shape. Everyone was tough. Every time you get hit at stuff. In fact, that's why I said, hey, there's got to be a better way.
How long did you actually fight?
Oh, off and on since I was 13 till after I got out of the service. But there was I didn't get in the Golden Gloves or anything like that. They just had smokers, you know. Mm-hmm. Some guy would say, hey, we got an old barn, let's make a ring, call the guys up. And about that time, the CC camps were coming along.
Yep,
a lot of guys.
In Montana.
So we'd box, you know.
Do you remember how you got paid?
I did get paid once. And you weren't supposed to get paid. You're just supposed to fight.
Well, why would you fight if you weren't getting paid?
Well, I think they give us a couple of bucks back when we were kids. But in Alaska, they had the one guy they wanted me to fight, and They actually paid me $25. I thought I was going to need you there.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a kind of a put-up deal. And if you could go three rounds with this guy and he didn't knock you out, why, you could get $25.
And you got the $25?
I did, and I actually won the fight. They said, well, that was a draw. I said, no, I won the fight. He never did hit me. If he'd have hit me, I wouldn't have won.
Well, you know, with as many kids as there were in your family, you should have been able to do what my uncles did. They all went out to the carnivals that had the fights.
Yeah.
And one of them would become the reigning champion, and then he'd end up fighting all his brothers. They'd say, they'd call for the next fighter, and up would come another Dern Franco. And so that way the money at least stayed in the family. That was...
I'm boxing the service a little bit, but just for fun, you know.
Yeah. I can't see how it could have been. It was really fun.
It wasn't tough. I had a pretty face back then, and I wanted to keep it that way.
Yeah. Really? Well, Gary writes, with so many paintings completed, do you have trouble coming up with ideas for what you want to paint?
That can become a problem, and mostly I'll tell you what the problem is. When you're painting and painting and you're getting along real good, all of a sudden you start thinking about another painting. Yeah. And then you should quit that. You should hang on to that painting until you finish it, because you want to get going on the other one.
Yeah.
And that's about the way it goes, you know, because you're in there making things, you're putting highlights on, you're creating distance, and that pretty quick gives you an idea. Gee, if I laid some more color on here, I could move that mountain back. And hey, you got 100 ideas going on all the time.
Do you still wake up in the middle of the night and come out and change things?
The lawyer wants to say something.
No, that's not.
Go ahead, counselor.
Well, I was just going to ask if it's hard to go very long without painting.
Yeah. If I go 3 or 4 days, I start getting the bug, yeah. And I should. And I've, at this point in my life, I should only paint maybe 4 to 5 hours a day and split it up. Because if you paint too long, you kind of get in a rut, and you start going backwards. If you get tired, you're going to make bad decisions. Like if you're mixing something that's close to what you want, don't just let it be close. Let it be what you want. Because you get so you take shortcuts, you know, and your work will suffer from that.
That's probably good advice for everybody, though.
I think so.
You gotta pace yourself.
This audience member astutely asks, when did you start painting the murals in Toppenish?
That was in 89. That's not bad. All that long ago.
How many are there?
How many artists painted?
Well, that and how many murals?
I did 3 of them by myself, but I painted a lot of them. You know, they have what they call a mural in the day. In June, we all go over there, like 15 or 20 of us, and we paint, and we do it there. They got it all set. They got the paint mix. They got the idea. Some artist goes over early and has it all set up, and it's his baby, but you do the paint. I go because I get paid.
Do you still go?
I did last year.
Good for you. I love those murals. Those. Anybody who possibly, there cannot be anybody here. Is there anyone here who hasn't yet gone over to see the murals in Toppenish? Oh, 1, 2,
you've
three,
never
four.
Seen them murals?
Don't you think we can
that's
make a little...
That's a student of mine right there.
Oh, we could get a bus.
And that's a where's, student of mine. Yeah.
Where's Joella? We need to. We could we'll go right after the show. We could go right on. But seriously, it's worth a trip down to
I'll
see
get
it.
The wine.
Yeah. Okay. Doesn't that sound like fun? That would be, and you wouldn't even have to paint when you got there this time.
No, you get paid, you know.
Kit, you know, I just thought I want to go back to the hat story. You know, you said what you said about not taking off your hat or whatever. Mm-hmm. The one time I remember clearly seeing you without your hat, besides Christmas Eve at your house, is do you remember when we went down to Olympia, mm-hmm. when it was Fred Oldfield Day and Month? And because as we went into the legislative halls, because Fred is so respectful, and which he is, of our whole state legislative system, he respectfully took his hat off. And we went in. Well, nobody could recognize him. Were you sitting on the stage? I think you were, weren't you? At the time, or down in the front anyway. Anyway.
That was that senator.
It's the senator. Now, who was it? Pam? Was that Pam Roach, or who was that?
But anyway. The one from Federal Way. I knew her pretty well. I knew her so well. What the hell was her name?
She said, Fred, for heaven's sake, put your hat on and don't ever take it off again. I can't recognize you with that.
I liked her.
She was very nice, and it was good. And we were all glad when you put it on. Okay, now this one goes with the last question. Can you tell a story? Did I tell you about this? Ask you about this? No, it's another Toppenish story. Can you tell a story about breaking horses in Toppenish? Tell a story about it.
Breaking horses in Toppenish? I mean, I went to Toppenish to buy beer. I didn't break horses there.
Can
no,
you tell us?
You break horses wherever you have to break them. You know, mostly out on the ranch, it depends on if you... And we broke a lot of horses to work, too. And a lot of people don't know that, but we would take an old mare that was probably middle-aged and real calm, and a young colt, we would harness them both, get them together, and we'd be out in the sagebrush and hooked onto a wagon. Then we'd turn them loose. And the old mare did most of the breaking. She controlled that colt. He raised heck, he kicked, he done everything. But after about a mile run with that wagon about long, that was a lot of fun. Be three or four of us up there.
Oh, it sounds
but,
good.
But that's one way. I mean, it was kind of rough justice, you know, doing it that way. But
did you have the beer in the back of the wagon then that you're from Papanish?
Yeah, it fermented, you know.
Well, now here's a question. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, Dorothy, you know, you asked a question. He didn't answer about waking up in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to hear the answer to that.
That's right. Do you still wake up? You know how we all do. If you've got a painting going and you've worked on it and you've worked on it, and all of a sudden in the middle of the night you wake up and you just have to run out and do something. Do you still do that?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do. In fact, if I get up and I get halfway awake, I'll go down the hall and around and punch the lights on there and stand there and stare at it in the middle of the night and may not work on it, but I'll look it over real good and think, and I'll go back to bed and then won't go to sleep trying to paint the damn thing, you know.
I think most artists do that. You have to, or else I'll have to put it in a place where I have to pass it off, and so I'll look at it in a different way.
Yeah, you do. Boy, you can write a book on what goes through your mind when you're trying to paint and different things.
You know, the other thing you mentioned to me quite often is that you'll say, I'll say, yes, you did. You'll say, well, listen, just because you don't pay any attention to what you say. I mean, I do. But anyway, you'll very often say, you know, I think I'm beginning to find out something about color.
Holy moly, that'll never quit. Isn't that true?
What does it mean, though? When you say that, what does it mean?
Well, you take color. So you start out the three primaries, and you mix a color. Then you can mix a group of colors over here, and you can put them against this group. And you can tone them down and put it. You're way out nowhere when you quit. And there's always a new combination of colors and tone values you can play around with. And sometimes you can just get too involved in it and lose track of what you're really on. You know, you get fascinated with color and what one color will make another color do.
Say, Fred, do you like to paint alone, you know, just by yourself, or do you?
I really do.
Yeah, normally. Yeah. Do you play music when you paint, or do you just quiet best?
No,
or
I got to start doing that. I heard music is
fun. I just didn't know. Yeah.
Well, the next 20 years, yeah. We're going to play all music. Right.
What kind of music are you going to play?
believe it or not, I was listening to some classical music, which I've never listened to, the other day in painting, and it was so soothing, and you know, I just got rolling, and it was real good. Yeah, bourbon will do the same thing.
And faster. Okay, Bill and Susan Connolly asked this question and then left. Now you've answered it once.
I hear you now. What they say?
You've actually answered this once, and I want to see if you can come up with a different answer this time. What was the first painting you sold, and how much did it sell for, and when was that? Let's see if this agrees with you.
The gal may have lied to me, so I don't know what it sold for.
What did she tell you?
She paid me my commission.
What did she give you?
I can't remember. Probably $8. She probably got 10.
She probably did.
Well, she deserved it, yeah.
Here is what our agent says to us. You weren't going to get anything for it if she hadn't sold it. So, you know.
Exactly.
But, you know, I don't think people realize that what you were painting on was linoleum squares, like asphalt tile things. Mm-hmm. So they were kind of limited as to size.
Well, up in Mount Rainier, when I first went up there to paint, I would set up a whole row of real small paintings, and I would paint 10 skies.
He's going across the
room. Before I went to mix the other paint, then I'd make 10 mountains, and then I'd put the snow on them. And even when you got done mixing that paint, they were all originals. You never could hold the same. And when I sold them, they're all originals, too.
You know, when I got to, when I came
but
to...
But when I was getting $3 or $4 a piece for them.
And those were famous. When I came to Washington State, before I ever met Fred, everybody, of course, talked about him. Everybody's always talked about you, you know.
Yeah.
Yes. And they'd say, if he autographed...
Listen to them cops.
If he autographed a Kleenex, we'd get $10,000 for it. Do you think that's true? That's what they said. We could never get you to autograph a Kleenex, so we couldn't find out.
I did get $10,000 once.
Well, I don't know. No, just for autographing a Kleenex.
The kids got it, I mean.
Well, of course.
Yeah. I was real proud of that one. I was excited.
And here is yet another how did you get started painting? You do such beautiful work. How do you feel when people say your paintings are beautiful?
Oh, I really like them. I'm looking for more people like that.
What sells best? Does Mount Rainier still sell best?
It is one of the toughest mountains to paint. Yep. There is. Mount Rainier, I'd much rather paint Mount McKinley, Mount Shucks, or any of those other mountains, because Mount Rainier, actually, when you keep looking at it from different areas, has a dip in the top, and it goes different ways. Sometimes you have 3 peaks, sometimes 2 peaks. And boy, if you miss a pencil line, the width of a pencil line, you can tell.
And people know Mount Rainier. When they see it, they know where you painted from, what view you had, and everything. It doesn't look the same everywhere.
Yeah, I've painted it mostly from Paradise area.
I imagine
you don't get much criticism, but over the years, maybe early years, was it hard to take criticism when it came?
Not if I had my guns on.
Okay. Did anybody ever, were there critics over the years, I suspect?
Oh, definitely, and especially up at the mountain.
Yeah.
How did you handle that? I mean, bother you?
Hi.
Bothered you, I assume?
Said I don't like to look at your britches either. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody deals with criticism in their
life.
Yeah,
they can make you mad after a while, but mostly I took it and considered it. It was real criticism. But most of the time, they'll be criticizing something that doesn't have any bearing on the painting or a piece of art, you know. So you just have to ignore it. You hear it all the time. And mostly it's good, you know, mm-hmm. but there's been some bad.
There always is. I remember at a painting exhibit, a lady said to me, "Do you take painting lessons?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And she said, "Well, you certainly should." So
that wasn't me, is it?
No. I will say for Fred as a teacher and everyone here, how many people here have taken painting from Fred? Oh, about a dozen. Hi there. Well, I think you are the most gentle, encouraging teacher. Just really excellent.
These kids can tell you different right here.
Okay, yeah, but they won't because it's your birthday. They would hate to say anything.
Well, I am gentle with them, and they ask me, you know, Fred, what can I do with this? I wait a little bit, and I say, you got a match?
That's gentle. That's good.
I use that quite a bit.
I bet you do. Now, here is a lady who wants to know why you keep following her. And it isn't me, kids.
No name?
Yes, there is a name, and then you'll tell the story. Alda Starkel. Why does she say that?
That I'm always following her?
That's what she says.
Because she's 6 months older than I am.
2 months.
2 months?
That's what she says.
I think she's 2 years. Where's she at?
Oh, well, no, she's 10 months. No, 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 no. That's right. She's
I know
10
she
months
left.
Older.
She said goodbye to me, so I
don't You know she wasn't here. Yeah. Anyway, that she says you're always trying to catch up to her, and you never can. Okay. And here is, oh, this is good. I understand children love you. It's as if she doesn't quite believe it. She hasn't seen it, but she has heard it. You know, I understand that children love you. The cards on display by your students show that. Now that's good, see. Okay, tell us about your art classes at the museum.
Well, the reason kids really like me, they haven't grown up yet. Once they get grown up, they change their mind. But no, I think like a kid. I really do. I feel at home with kids. And you never see me having a conversation with grown-up men much. And I don't have conversations with women. I hug them, but I don't have a conversation with them. But actually, with kids, they're more original with what they're saying. You talk to a grown-up, and they say, well, my lumbago is real bad right now. My aunt's got something. And it goes on and on. You never learn anything. But the kid, you learn something. There's some little kids in here today that would bob up and say, I don't like that. You know, you like that when kids, because they really give you the truth. And they're more interesting. They're fun. When you get these kids' ages, then they become problems.
And now here's our last question. It's from Kate. It says, I think it's Olke. Is that right? She says, what was, now see, this is the same question again, so you have to think of another answer. What was your first medium, and how old were you when you picked up your first brush? Now, it doesn't say what kind of a brush.
Well, didn't I talk to you about that?
Three times. But I, see, here is what I think. I think you should be able to think of another answer. I just can't.
I actually did a lot of drawing in the barnyard, you know, and in the ground and stuff. Always caught myself trying to produce an image of something, you know, even if it was a rail fence or something. And I, of course, I was around horses all the time, so I really like to do horses. And I think I remember doing a painting on a bunkhouse wall with some house paint. I painted the painting and kept looking at it. We had a lot of time. So then I painted a frame around it. And after I got done with the frame, I thought, well, I got to put some shadows and tilt that out. I painted a wire. And all of a sudden, I realized I could paint. You made the thing work, you know.
That's wonderful.
So in class Wednesday night, I'll tell you the rest of the story.
You may tell it right now if you want to.
I don't know it.
Oh. Well, now.
I got to have time on this one.
Now, that's all the audience questions before we ask Fred's attorney for any reflections. So I hope you have some because we've been working up to this. Fred, is there any question we should have asked that we didn't? Is there anything you thought surely people would ask?
I don't want to get serious.
Yeah, well, don't then.
Do you know if you do a painting and they bring it back to you and say it chipped off, it's chipping, it's doing things. Well, first thing they say is bad paint to you. And the next thing you look at the back and see if you can find water stains. And 90% of the time they've gotten water on it. And they tell you it's looking dull. Well, you say, do you guys smoke? After about 3 years of painting will change because there's smokers in the family. And you get into things like that. No, I hardly ever do, but it has happened. And you know, a lot of people think it's your fault if that painting doesn't start looking good to them. And smoking is the hardest thing on a painting. And you clean one off, you can't believe it's the same painting. So there is problems like that. Otherwise, I've had no problems with people. Fact is, I'll tell you what. You know, I was in Los Angeles having a show, And geez, I was selling everything I had, sold prints, and I had some prints hanging on there, a series of three or four prints, I don't know what it was. That's the only prints I had. I'd been painting originals and selling them as I went along. And everybody was packing up and stuff, and there's this black lady, and very well dressed, and come up and said, I would love to have those paintings. The last thing I had. And I said, well, she wanted to know the price. I told her. I said, well, you take them off the wall and take them home. And I said, you send me a check. Everybody said, you're a dummy. Well, hey, 2 weeks later, I got a check and a wonderful letter. And I'll tell you what, I have never had trouble with people not paying that wants a painting. Because if they're interested enough to want a painting, mostly they're pretty respectable. And I'm sorry I lost track of this gal, because she would, you know, she wrote to me several times, and it was fun. People will almost always pay for a painting.
But if
they may take time. But
right. But if they didn't, you have your attorney here.
That's right.
Yeah.
But if they're good talkers, I say, oh, what the heck, I know it's them.
Well, Bob, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, this is maybe partially tongue-in-cheek, but way down the road, many, many years from now, when we eventually lose you,
this is
way down the road. You're 115 or 20, whatever it is, and you get to write something on your tombstone, and you get to put a picture on your tombstone. What would it say, and what would the picture be?
Strange you should ask that. I have a tombstone already where my wife is.
Oh, boy.
And they tried to get me to do some artwork on it, and I wouldn't do it. I didn't feel right doing it.
No, but now you're departing. This is way down the road. What would you put on that?
The kids like me anyway.
All right. I like it.
Bob, I'm going to give you a minus 7 for that question.
Oh,
too.
No.
So anyway, do you have... I am. I can do anything I want. It's my show.
I've noticed that it was your show.
But it's never too late.
I haven't heard a word from
Bob. It's never
Bob.
Too late for me to ask another question, right?
No, I should do so.
Yeah, no, did information.
All right, if you were looking back on yourself as a young man and you could give yourself some advice, what would it be?
There is a few things I would do, but not much, not very much. I would have went to school, maybe, but I don't know what good that would have done me, you know. I just had an 8th grade education, and I passed all the tests to go to cadet training, which I never got to go to, but you don't always have to go to school. If you keep learning, I think it's great to go to school. I would have probably been a disc jockey if I'd have went to school.
Or a talk show host, God help us.
Or a talk show host, yeah.
Well, you know, it's been the greatest thing in the world. Thank you for letting us come and celebrate your birthday. Have you got another one still?
I just want to make sure we're recording you.
Oh, am I through already?
No.
Oh, the mic. Well, because I've got to look at Fred. See, here's where the prize is. Okay. See, this is because we're revving up for the big finish. So now I've got to make up my mind whether to look at you or to the audience or to look at Fred. And he is so cute. So I am going to look at Fred. Yes, let's have a hand for Fred's cuteness. Yes. Now, Fred, thank you for letting us come and celebrate your birthday with you.
Yeah, that's not going to get you anywhere.
Oh, au contraire, I find that it does. So anyway, that was actually, you know, we've had a lot of fun together, and I don't think it's necessary to specify what sort.
Maybe for you.
You want me to serve her with a summons and complaint now, or should we?
No, okay.
If you don't, you're going to have to serve me with one.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Anyway, thank you so much. This has been for our first show. It's been a great show. Thank you for being with us. And this is Dorothy Wilhelm. This has been Never Too Late. And Bob, say something inspiring.
Well, you leave it to me to inspire.
I'm going to let you finish and do thank our host producer.
We want to thank Jeff. Obviously, Jeff
thank
has
you,
been
Jeff.
Producing with his able assistant, Emily, today.
Thank you, Emily.
Working hard. And it's so great to see Diane here. You're helping, too. I'm sorry. No, okay. You're going to leave it to me to forget people. But I appreciate Fred being able to be a part of your great day.
And before,
I'm really honored to be here, to tell you the truth. Yeah. I'll be serious for a moment.
Not
That's
too long.
It. I'm honored.
But well, right. Wait, don't turn it off yet, Jeff, because they're going to give, as we go out, let's have a terrific round of applause for Fred Oldfield, 93 years old.
So be sure to catch Dorothy's column every month in the paper, News Tribune,
First
if you're
Sunday.
Local. All over the country otherwise?
All over the country. You can always get it online at tribnet.com, and a new one comes out the first Sunday of the month. Heaven alone knows what I'll be writing about this month.
And check out the upcoming broadcast, podcast, Bobcast.
I like Dorothy. The Bobcast.
Dorothy, it's great to work with you. Appreciate
Thank you,
that
you
very
too.
Much.
And both of you. I just like you all both a lot. Thank you very much.
You
and
have
keep
to
listening.
Make a choice.
Well, we have been friends before.